Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who's wondering if it's wrong to be fulfilled by solitude. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
No, we are not professionals. We are not trained in any of this. So please take our advice as you see fit. We're only here as a supplement. And we're only here to offer our humble musings to hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding but mostly confusing experience that is love. All right, I'm going to dive into today's letter. It is from Heather, whose pronouns are she, her, who is writing to us from Ghost Town. I'm that gray-haired, middle-aged, happily single lady down the street who never married, never had kids, and has two rescue cats. I moved back to this small town near my parents to assist them as they age after 20 years in a city across the country. As I knew it would be, it has been very difficult caring for them, getting mom into a care home, dealing with a stubborn old dad still on the farm. I've struggled so much with my identity in all of this. There's the family identity as the fixer to contend with. There's the dance of supporting ill parents while refusing to become enmeshed in their denial. There's the challenge of working part-time while being an on-call caregiver. There's the culture shock of being in a place that's not monolithically conservative, but way further right than I am. I have made friends and renewed childhood friendships, but have kept distance from all of them. I get most fulfillment from podcasts, reading, texting, and solo physical activity. Yes, I'm a ghostie. I have been avoidant, withholding, and eventually used my words and explained I'm taking space to various people. But is it healthy? Is it fair? The pandemic was very stressful, and I can't say I have returned to pre-pandemic levels of socializing and fun. Honestly, I haven't wanted to. I'm so content juggling my home, pets, two freelance jobs, and caregiving. My problem is not hurting others in the process. Cousins want to visit, friends want to stay. I just don't have the oomph to receive their efforts at connection. I feel judgy, hyper allergic to even a whiff of codependency. Recently, I've had some health issues crop up, and so I'm doing CT scans, ultrasounds, etc. to diagnose. It has been debilitating, but I feel optimistic and curious about my health and relish having sick days off without any obligation to anyone, especially my inner taskmaster. It feels like I'm so thirsty for this time alone, unstructured days, projects to putter at. Is this wrong? Is it wrong to be so fulfilled by solitude? I am honestly A-okay with friends I see a few times a year and friendships by text. Can my friends and family cope with the huge space I seem to require? What is the litmus test to know if I'm slipping into pure self-absorption? What if this is all just a phase? What if this changes after this chapter? How will I renegotiate distance and space if I start to feel lonely and need more? Am I hypocritical, selfish? How can I protect my friendships from ghost town haunting spaces? Thanks so much for your useful wisdom. I feel hipper just hearing your thoughtful musings each week.
Oh, I love that.
That we're is not very hip, flattering.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate you writing this letter, Ghosty. It sounds like you've got a lot on your plate right now in terms of your emotional well-being, in terms of caring for your parents physically, emotionally, spiritually, caring for yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually. And, you know, it sounds to me like you're making decisions that feel right for you in this particular moment around what you have the capacity to hold and carry. And I think I really respect and understand and appreciate that you are doing what you need to do in this particular time and moment. And I think Sierra and I want to talk about what is solitude? What does it mean? What are the values of it? And how can we make sure that even in our desire for solitude, we're remembering our interdependence and that we have people in our lives that want to love and support us? And we're going to get into all of the complicated, messy nuance of that in just a moment. But before that, we're going to take a quick break. Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about? I will tell you that I 100% am in that 75% of people. Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had maybe, I don't know, 15 subscriptions, but I couldn't believe it when actually I had way more than that. And it was things that I both had forgotten about and not forgotten about, but like seeing it all in one place was a real sort of amazing moments of clarity for me. From streaming services and fitness apps and delivery services, like everyone's trying to sell you a subscription now. And Rocket Money is great because it helps make sure that you're no longer wasting money on the ones that you forgot about.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. I love how the dashboard helps me see this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. It is humbling and incredibly helpful. Uh-huh. And they'll also help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
That's rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. All right, y'all, welcome back, and welcome back particularly to my darling letter writer. Thank you again for this question. I adore this question, and I am going to, like Sam said, I think we are going to touch on like our interconnectedness and like how we can maybe soften the edges of our judgment for other people when we're feeling really protective of our time and space, you know, because I know we can become very reactive, you know, protective, defensive of that when we've finally fucking found our peace. You know what
for
I mean?
Sure. For sure.
But mostly I just want to tell you that your life sounds beautiful and fulfilled and exciting and stressful and a myriad of coexisting things, you know? I really appreciate you spelling out those new identities of moving back to the hometown and becoming a caretaker for your parents. I think I am closer to that lived experience than not. And I know that that's something that we don't always talk about or prepare for. I also want to say, like, I think there's two big things happening here. Like, number one, we live in a socializing system that prioritizes extroversion or like puts extroversion on a pedestal, and add to that the level of connectivity and access we have right now due to the internet. You know, the amount of access we have to other people is not natural. Like, can you imagine like a peasant in the 1500s? Like, they're not talking to like 30 people in the morning, or like they're not seeing like 30 people's summary of their days on social media.
True.
And then like connecting to their exes from 20 years ago, or like, you know, their parents aren't texting them every like 30 minutes or.
For sure.
You know, they don't even, whatever. I'm just saying, like, physically if you were a peasant hundreds of years ago, you wouldn't deal with the same level of socializing stimulation, right?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, first of all, I'm offended that you would think that I would be a peasant and not like a little lordling. So rude.
What's the non-binary also, like, version of lordling?
I feel like also probably peasants were like more concerned about like not getting the plague than
worrying about their exes or whatever. And not starving during the winter. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, I'm just trying to say like the level of socializing that this current societal system has that prioritizes extroversion might not actually be super good for our nervous system. So it makes sense to me, like biologically, it makes sense to me that you're like, wow, I'm feeling this level of stability and security within myself, within this solitude that maybe I haven't accessed pre-COVID or when I was younger. So there's that. I also want to like invite into the chat capitalism.
Because it's always been here, babe. It did not need an invitation.
No,
it was already listening.
Something that I realized reading your letter a second time is like, you know, the joys of not having a social schedule on top of this 40-hour work week, the joys of being able to pursue hobbies and to find fulfillment from little projects like you described, like, you know, your solo physical activities and also these unstructured days where you can putter around and be creative or be productive in a way that isn't rooted to your survival in this churning capitalistic machine. It makes a lot of sense to me that this is feeling like, maybe you won't use the word peace, but like this is feeling like a level of peace that you're becoming a little protective of, but it's also feeling a little insular. So you're like, am I doing this wrong? Because I've been told my whole life that the point of life is connection, you know? Before I pass the baton, I just want to say I've been self-employed for on and off for the majority of my careered life and as a writer and as a poet, but I took a job in South Florida, I don't know, 10 years ago, 7 years ago. I know.
It wasn't crazy, 10. Right? It couldn't be 10.
My homie, we have been doing the podcast for 6 years.
Yes, yeah. It was 7. It was 7 years ago then.
It was 2017.
Okay.
There 7. We go. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so I took this job.
I feel better about 7 than 10.
Yeah. I took this job in this new city, and it was like lots of hours, and I was new in the city. I was in a long distance relationship with that cheater, and so I didn't have a lot of capacity or interest to like socialize. I also like I learned while I was in Florida for the period of time that I took this job that I was way more introverted than I ever thought I was in my 20s when I was like out gallivanting in college and like trying to like fill my days with socializing. I learned during that period in South Florida of like extreme isolation that I loved it, that I loved. I was lonely. I sought connection, but it rewired my entire relationship to alone time. It rewired my entire relationship to myself and my need to socialize. All of a sudden, I realized that being alone allowed me to create this like reservoir of peace within myself that I had been denying myself for like a decade. So this is just all to say, like, there are many points in this letter, in your experience, that I'm saying, that I'm nodding along emphatically being like, yeah, it makes a lot of sense that this feels good and feels right, feels joyful and exploratory at the same time that it might be stressful or all the other things that life is. And fuck capitalism for taking us away from our unstructured days, you know, taking us away from days in which we can just be alone to listen to our own intuition, to explore, to be creative, whatever.
For sure. Absolutely. And I think, you know, especially in this time of grieving, like that's what I'm going to call it. I don't know if that word fits for you, but that's what it feels like to me as an external outsider, right? Like, you know, you're grieving your parents, you know, health issues and like the reality of what their lives were and are now turning into. You're grieving your own sense of identity around like being the fixer of everything, the person who takes everything on, maybe being somebody who works a lot, right? Like you're in this, what sounds like this like transition, this like moment of change. And like, I use the word grief, not in like a bad way, right? Like I think grief is such an important and powerful emotion experience that it's like, I don't think it's bad to be in grief. Like but if, again, if that word doesn't work for you, don't use it. But I think that like, for me in those times of big transition, like the process of grieving, like actually needing to step out of normal life is helpful. And I think it's really important, right? Like I know that there are some people who process grief by just like putting their nose to the grindstone and like working or like doing things. I find that like I need to take a step back from everything in order to like shore myself up and deal with the things that are important. And I'm so glad that you have the capacity to be able to like make this happen for yourself. You know, like how lucky are you to be able to work part-time while being a full-time caregiver and have days of unstructured time to take care of yourself and do fulfilling things. Like, I'm so proud of you for doing that for yourself. I'm so glad that you're making that intentional choice for yourself. And I hope that this is a time of healing for you in a really meaningful way. And, because there's always an and I also want to say that like, as somebody who over-indexes on alone time, I do also think it's important to just remember, and this is something that I have to remind myself of as well, right? Is that we are created for connection, right? Like we need other people in our lives. And like, even as like as a type 5 on the Enneagram, right? Like I'm having a reaction to that idea. Like I'm like, even as I'm saying it out loud, like, no, I don't, I can be completely self-sufficient. I don't need anybody else. Right. And like, that's not true. And so I want to just make sure that you are also making time for an understanding of the connections that you have in your life and that you need. And it sounds like you're doing some of that, which is really great. Like I don't, maybe this is the perfect balance for you. But if I were you, if I were in your position, I would need to be checking myself and saying like, okay, Sam, you've had 5 days of uninterrupted like you time. Like, why don't you make sure that you are also spending time with others? Because that can also be a place where your cup gets filled up, right? Like I sometimes forget that like being in relationship with people who see me and support me and love me is actually really fulfilling for me, even if it drains my like energy batteries, right? Like, even if it makes me feel like, whew, I'm tired afterwards. Like there's a different, like there's a whole other set of batteries in me that needs to be recharged that I can sometimes neglect because of my love of solitude and my love of just like being in my own little worlds and little space. So I want to make sure that you are giving yourself permission to be alone when you need to be alone, and that it's not selfish. It's not like bad. Like you don't need to make excuses for it, and giving yourself permission to fill up those batteries, those social batteries, those like loving, caring batteries with the people who want to do that and who actually fulfill that for you. Those that also needs to be tended to as well.
I think there's something to be said, like something in the letter that stood out to me that you called yourself out on. You know, you said, I can feel judgy and hyper allergic to even the whiff of codependency. And to me, that makes a lot of sense because, again, I'll use the word peace. Sam and I are just like prescribing you words today. Peace, grief, take it or leave it.
Take it or leave them. Yeah.
Try it on. but like when you find this peace, you do feel incredibly protective of it. And I know that this is a little bit different, but like on my like personal journey to make new friends, when I moved to the city that I'm living now, with my spouse, like I I found myself very easily discouraged and easily turned off by new people, by little things, because I think I'm also like you at the time in my life in which I'm prioritizing my energy differently and I'm valuing my energy differently. And therefore, like, if somebody gives me like the, like you say, like a whiff of a red flag, I'm like, woof, well, I know where this is going to go. I know how this is, uh-huh. You know, this person's going to be like this, or man, it just really, I felt why that line pulled out from your letter for me is because I too know the feeling of the immediate shutdown, like the immediate turn off, you know, for like something very minute or whatever. And I just want to, like Sam did, lovingly invite you to push against that just a little, even acknowledging like I feel protective of my independence and my solo time and my energy because I'm grown, because I have a different respect and a value and an understanding of myself. And it makes sense. It makes sense why I'm feeling protective of this or having these like judgy reactions. And also, I am inherently cutting myself out from future connections by allowing that judgment to take up more space than it actually is. Like, simply put, like, you're not going to like people 100% of the time. You're not, you know, and people are going to want and need things from you. That's just human nature, you know. And you can, how about this? You can protect your independence and protect your alone time and protect your energy. And also, occasionally, you can decide to overstep those things for the sake of connection or for the sake of friendship or for the sake of family. You know, I think that those of us who have had our boundaries overstepped so often, or maybe, you know, like me, I was recovering from a life of not listening to my own intuition and boundaries. And so that I became like hyper vigilant to anything that might overstep that. But that's that hard swing of the pendulum isn't going to help us, you know. And there's going to be times in which, like, maybe your cousins want to come over and they want to complain to you about what's going on in their life. And you might roll your eyes and think, like, I don't have space for this right now. And also, there are humans that are reaching out to you with their humanity. Like, you can do both. You can protect your time. You can protect your peace. And you can open yourself up to other people safely. Yeah. I know that it might feel like you can't do both, but you can.
For sure.
And also, you don't have to, like,
no, absolutely.
I think that we live in this world where it's like the relationship escalator and, you know, the spinster narrative and like, if you're happy, Sam and I didn't read anything in this letter that was like,
no.
Oh man, she's dooming herself to a life.
No,
of,
it sounds lovely.
Oh my god,
the way that you're living
like
your life. Absolutely.
The stuff I'm dealing with in my life, your life sounds like a vacation. And that is not to trivialize everything going on, living in a new city and taking care of your parents. Like, obviously, that was like a flippant joke.
For sure.
But we don't see anything wrong. If this is what is where you're, what feels good, then follow that bliss. And also, you can always like push back on that extreme pendulum swing of aloneness to say, you know what, I have a little to give right now, or like practice giving in a social situation, that energy, to understanding that you have the space and capacity to refill that cup on your own. You know, like, I'm going to have a social date and then I know I'm going to have 3 days that I'm alone. I'm going to have a cousin that comes and visits and then I'm going to take 3 days to myself or whatever, you know.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I'm interested to know who told you that your solitude is selfish, right? Like, 'cause it's not. And I think one of the things that might help you is to let go of the self-judgment that you're placing on yourself for having a solitary life, right? And I think that by getting rid of some of that judgment or trying to work on your own stuff around, like, I'm not selfish because I like alone time, or I'm not a bad person because I'm not working 9 to 5 every day, or whatever those sort of like those lessons that we've learned about our own value because of capitalism or the families that we've been part of, white supremacy, right? Like all of that kind of stuff. And like letting go of that, then I think will free you to be able to be more open to relationship with more people. At least that's what I've experienced, right? When I tell myself and remind myself like, oh, I'm somebody who needs alone time. That doesn't mean me a bad person or a bad friend or a selfish person. It's just a thing about me. And that's good. It's neither good nor bad. It's just a thing about me. And I don't need to like punish myself for it. Then I became less weirdly protective of it, right? Like I became less like, I need to have this thing and I'm so selfish because I need this thing. And instead was like, no, this is just a thing that I need. So I'll tend to it. I will give myself it and without any reservation. And that actually then made it easier for me to not feel like I had to like keep everyone away from it. Like I had to like protect it at all costs because it's something that I can always give myself and no one's going to take it from me and I'm not a bad person for having it, right? Like I don't need to hoard it like a dragon. I can actually just like let it be. And that made it easier for me to be like, first of all, less judgmental of other people. Cause like, I feel like so much of our judgment of other people comes from our judgment of ourselves. And it also made me less like, I don't know, selfish, not selfish, but like less like greedy about it, right? Like I didn't need to like constantly hoard it because it's like, oh, it's in abundance and it's not bad for me to have it. So I can have it whenever I need it and I don't have to feel bad about it. But then I can also really appreciate the different flavor of being in community and conversation with somebody, right? Like the joy that comes from sitting with someone and like talking about real things with them, right? And like I was missing out on that because I felt like I had to only guard this one thing so deeply. So keep your solitude. I love it. Live the life that you're living in the way that you want to live it. I think that's beautiful and wonderful. And you don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to hoard it. You don't have to protect it at all costs, right? You can have multiple things at the same time that fulfill you and support you. And it's okay if that means sometimes they're not exactly the same or they might be kind of incongruous. Like you are capable of holding the complexity of all of the different needs that you might have. And you don't have to pick just one to protect with your whole heart and body.
I think that's so beautiful. All right, my darling. We care about this chapter of your life and we hope that you feel seen and that you continue to do what feels good while knowing you can step a little bit outside of that boundary, a little bit into, you know, maybe a slight feeling of discomfort, and you can always return to yourself that safety you found in yourself is abundant. Mm. And so we love you.
We love you. Thank you so much for writing. We hope this helps.
All right. It's Friday, which brings us to the blind date segment of our show. Every episode, we like to shout out something that we love that we want to set you up with. And this week we are sending you home with
a book called The Unfiltered Enneagram, A Witty and Wise Guide to Self-Compassion by Elizabeth Orr. And Elizabeth is the person behind Rude Ass Enneagram on Instagram. You know that I am like a big fan of the Enneagram, and it's been like really helpful for me to understand myself and other people better. And I know that folks have like sort of different feelings about it, and also that it's been really co-opted by people who have kind of tainted it. And that's why I actually really love this book, because I feel like the way that Elizabeth talks about the Enneagram is how I understand the Enneagram to be, which is that like the Enneagram is a tool of self-awareness. It's not a tool of self-intellectualization, right? And she really talks about like, I wanted to be kind of rude about how I talk about the different types because I want to shake people up and recognize that like the Enneagram isn't about you just like having a personality and like talking about it all the time. It's actually about like what are the patterns that I most easily fall into and how can I disrupt them for myself? And I think that she does a really good job of talking about that and offering some like really stark ways in which like our personalities are not actually serving us, even though we think that they are, and offering us ways to sort of disrupt the patterns that we fall into because of the ways that our types show up for us. So I love it. It's like really funny and personable and well-written. I think it's a great book if you're into the Enneagram and if you're looking for something that's a little bit more irreverent than some of the stuff that's out there, but that is also still like holding to the idea that it's a tool for us to change our behavior and be more sort of like at peace with ourselves in the universe. And I think that that's really wonderful and great. So if you're into it, check it out. It's called The Unfiltered Enneagram, A Witty and Wise Guide to Self-Compassion by Elizabeth Orr. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon, you can get access to those monthly chats that Sierra and I do on Zoom, where we just hop in a Zoom room with anyone who wants to join us and answer fun questions and get to know each other. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DMs, send us your favorite relationship meme, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of DuVide Media, original music recording, editing, producing, all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast and his music. And remember, your alone time is valuable. It allows you to recharge and reflect. And your introversion is valuable as well. It brings unique strengths to your life and allows you to more deeply connect with others. It's not a barrier, it's a gift. And if all else fails,
just break up.